First Corinthians chapter 2. We are about a week and a half away from our Bible conference. We're thankful to the Lord for allowing us to have another one. We wasn't here last Wednesday night, and because I had a meeting to had to be at and on the phone at 6 o'clock, so I wasn't able to be here, but we're going to pick up kind of where we left off last time, and where I have it marked that we left off, and we're going to start our reading in verse 10 of chapter 2. It says, "But God, who hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth these things of man, save or except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And we're going to drop off there. We're going to go all the way down to verse 16 eventually. But right now we're in verse 11. And verse 10 tells us that God had revealed them unto us, that is, the things of God, at verse 9. Which I should have probably went back to, but the things of God. Had God revealed them unto us. And how did he do it? He did it by his Spirit, didn't he? The Holy Spirit, that is. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, even the deep things of God. It says in verse 11 that the things of God knoweth no man. Man does not know God. He doesn't. Nor does man know the things of God. The reason people are so confused about God is because they do not know him. They do not recognize our God. They do not recognize the God of the Bible. They have this imaginary God. Remember we talked about mammon? Mammon is anything you make to be a God. So therefore they create a God that can't save sinners, can't change a person's will, can't really make a person do anything outside of whatever this person wills to do. And they create a God that does what they want him to do, that has a heart like they want him to have, and he only allows to happen what they want him to allow to happen. That's the God they created. They don't respect God as sovereign. They won't recognize him as sovereign. In fact, they laugh at sovereignty. They make fun of it. They mock it. Well, they laughed and made fun and mocked Jesus Christ too, didn't they? So the things of God knoweth no man. None. You got to look at the Word of God. When God says no man, he means no man. No, none. None of mankind knows God, knows anything about God. Why the Holy Spirit? Well, verse 10, it says, "But God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." So the Holy Spirit knows everything because he's God, isn't he? Jesus Christ is God. We learned that on last Sunday morning, didn't we? And therefore, the deep things are the depths of God. What are the mysteries, things called mysteries of God? They are the deep things of God. It's not some magical thing. It's not some great mystery. Everything about God is a deep thing. We're blessed. The purpose in this study, and when I started it, the purpose in this study was to make us assure ourselves and to be reminded that we are blessed because we receive such great blessings from God. as though we have learned or we have studied and we have earned. Or it's like Paul when he got done with his ministry and about to go be with the Lord, he said, I am only what I am by the grace of God. That's paraphrase, but that's what he meant. I am what I am by the grace of God. And he said, well, grace was bestowed upon us all. God didn't waste it on me, and God doesn't need to waste his grace on us. We need to recognize what God has given to us. Deuteronomy 29, if you will. Only the Holy Spirit can assure us of understanding the truth of God, whether in word or reality of God. There is no question the Holy Spirit is our teacher of all things about God, everything about God. He leaves nothing out that he wants us to understand. Remember, we are what we are because God has made us thus. We're church members because God set us in the church, didn't he? Feel blessed that you are in a church that teaches and believes the truth of God's word. And God is using you. He is teaching you. Deuteronomy 29:29, secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us. They are ours, aren't they? Now go down to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, I'm talking about in our text, but now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. We, Christians, we believers have received the Spirit of God. He's in us. He dwells in our hearts, doesn't he? He teaches us. He communicates with us. Old Behar and Whoopi Goldberg and all the others over there on that stupid View show mocked and laughed at God talking to us. He talks to me. And I guarantee you, if you're saved tonight, he talks to you. You may not understand it sometimes, but he does. If you're saved, God always talks to you. Now we have received. We didn't go get it. We didn't earn it. We didn't study and get it all. We weren't the ones. It's like people that believe in works. They believe that they create their own salvation, make their own salvation. Well, they don't. God is a giver of salvation. You are saved by grace. Grace is a gift. He even says in Ephesians 2:8, it is a gift. So is your biblical education. So are the things you know and understand about God's word and about God. It's a gift. Don't waste it. Don't let it fall. A lot of preachers and churches today, I guarantee you, I'm not up here saying things isn't true. A lot of them are falling away from the truth. I've been told, you know what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians 6, if you will. So the Lord says we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. Before you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit entered your body. And you know what he did? He made it a temple of God. Every one of us is a temple of God. You know why? God's there. You realize that? A lot of Christians apparently don't realize that because they can't seem to control themselves. God is housed in us. Remember, God is a spirit, not a man, doesn't have a body, he is a spirit. Spirit is God. He made it a temple, so God is nowhere that He is not ruler. Your body is His temple. Remember, your body is God's temple. I say that because a lot of Christians don't know that. You know why? Because they mess their bodies up. They drink. They smoke weed. They smoke meth. They go out and commit adultery. They get all kinds of diseases. They go out and get a bunch of tattoos. They smoke. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You don't know that? No, Lord. A lot of Christians do not know that. Isn't that what he's saying? Am I exaggerating this? No. That's exactly the way the Lord said it. Question mark. You mean you don't know that your body is a temple of the Lord and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glory God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The word temple means sanctuary. Our bodies are a sanctuary. They're a place where God is. They're holy temples. You know, in heaven, and I learned this years ago, and it really did excite me to understand that there's a place in heaven where God's throne is. And sitting next to His is Jesus' throne. And there's a mercy seat there, which I believe has the blood of Jesus on it, which continually forgives our trespasses. And it's called the Holy of Holies because God is there. It's His temple. Of course, the whole heaven, the whole earth, the whole heavens itself, everything is God's, isn't it? God is a spirit and He's everywhere, isn't He? There's nowhere in creation that God is not. He's everywhere. Except in the bodies of lost people. He is in us though. Our body is God's temple. It's God's sanctuary. He says, the Holy Ghost, which is in you, means, listen, you know what it means? It means a fixed place and a fixed position in that place. Why is it fixed? You know what it is? If you go out and take a loan on a house and you get a fixed interest rate, it's always the same, isn't it? Interest doesn't go up and down like some other interest rates. And I'm not a finance person. I just know about a fixed interest rate. That's why the Holy Spirit, He doesn't change. He's there. He's fixed in your body. What did God promise us in Hebrews 13:5? I will never leave you nor forsake you. And here it is. People want to somehow believe that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. That somehow you're kicked out of the family of God, I guess, because once you're saved, you're a child of God. You are a family member. So I guess they think God just boots you right out. And the Holy Spirit leaves. I mean, he's not going to be in you if you're not saved. Is he? But that doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't. He's fixed. He's not leaving. When you die, he will be there with you. He is our comforter. Jesus called him a comforter, didn't he? So it means a fixed position in place. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" A lot of people's in trouble, aren't they? Idols. You know what, I don't have to go into detail what an idol is, do I? Idols. "What place has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And I will never leave nor forsake them." So get away from all this mammon trash, talk trash, that you can be lost after you're saved. People call it eternal. The people call it once saved, always saved. I hate those words. It ain't once saved, always saved. It's an eternal salvation. See, that's playing with words. No, it's an eternal salvation. God never tells us in his word, once saved, always saved. He says you have an eternal salvation. God comes into you and he never leaves. He promised us he will never leave. He promised us never to forsake us. Even if we were to forsake him, he will not forsake us. God knows our frame. He knows what we are. He knows how small we really are, doesn't he? Say, I'm not small. You don't even know who God was till God saved you and taught you. Go out on the street and find the dumbest lost person, and that's what you were before God saved you. Worthless. Worthless. Go to Ephesians 2, if you will. So the Lord says, we just read, that we're the temple of God, and the temple of God doesn't have anything to do with idols. Stay away from idols. You know what a cross is? It's an idol. You know what Christmas is? It's an idol. You know what Easter is? It's an idol. They are idols. They're all pagan. Pagan idols. So your body is a temple. Understand, your body is a temple of God. You're not yours. You don't. People say, I'm my own person. This is my body. I'll kill my baby if I want to. No, if you're a Christian, it is not your body. And whether you're a Christian or not, that is not your child to kill whether you want to or not. Anyway, that's something for another day. It's not our body. We're not to smoke, we're not to drink, we're not to take drugs, we're not to tattoo it up. Our bodies is a temple of God. Treat it like one. It's like a church building. It's a sanctuary. When we're here, guess who else is here? God's here, isn't he? When we're all gone, God's not here. Well, he really is. God's everywhere, but he's not his sanctuary. He's not here. It's just a building, isn't it? The church is the people. We can meet here. We can meet at the parsonage. We can go out there and meet them trees. Pray that God's will not fall on us. And we can meet out there. We can meet middle of the street. And that's the church. We're the church. We're the sanctuary, aren't we? We're each one housing God in us. So wherever we are, God is there. When we come together as assembly, then we become a church, don't we? So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. And it says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all things, all the building is fitly framed together, groweth unto the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together in a habitation of God, how? Through the Spirit. Don't worry about our church, folks. We're fine. We're fine. I would love to see 50 people join us so that we could expand the building. But that's God's will, isn't it? That's not my will. It's not your will. It's not anybody else's. If churches build without God building them, what do they become? They become a worldly organization. They're a worldly building. Once you take God out of it, it's no longer holy. We have to be careful, don't we? We worry about the wrong things sometimes. When we're not here, it's an empty building here because we are fitly joined together through the Holy Spirit. He builds us, doesn't he? He builds the church. Now, let's get back into our text. And the Lord said, not the spirit of the world. I know some of you thought I'd probably skip that, like I didn't know anything about it. I did have to study hard about this because I didn't want to be right. I think I understand it. Because the spirit of the world is different from the spirit of God. Vincent Word Studies defines it this way. The phrase means the principle of evil which animates the unregenerate world, not the personal spirit of evil or Satan. In other words, it's just flesh. It's just like depravity. It's the understanding, like we have the understanding of the Spirit of God, right? He teaches us, correct? What do they have? They have the spirit of the world. So when you get into works for salvation, that's not God's teaching. That's not the Holy Spirit's teaching. That's the spirit of the world. It's spiritual. It's spirit, worldly spirit knowledge. That's all that is. It's like grape juice at the Lord's Supper. It's not real. It's just worldly thinking, isn't it? I don't care if they're Christians or not. I don't care if they're churches or not. And they're probably not if they're taking grape juice at the Lord's Supper, but anyway, that's for another subject. I just run off about half the three people that watch me probably. Now, the people watch me don't deserve the Lord's Supper with grape juice. But anyway, you get what I'm talking about. Salvation by works. God's not sovereign. God can't change all of that. God can't change your will. Let me finish it. All of that is the spirit of the world. It's fleshly thinking. It's like, go to Romans 1 and read Romans 1. And you'll see what the spirit of the world is. And it goes on to say down there in Romans 1 that God gave them up, didn't he? Let me find where I'm at. John Gill said, I love Vincent Worsley. I don't love any of these guys so much that I can't understand, like John Gill or Albert Barnes. These are great writer commentators like Vincent, but they all have their problems. They all have their errors. Oh man, dude, don't we? I mean, show me a perfect man, I'll show you a man full of errors. John Gill says, the sinful cardinal disposition of man of the world. That's what it means. This is worthiness of mankind, which is human nature itself. That's the spirit of the world. Which is to walk in sinfulness and in total depravity. That's the sinfulness. See, when people allow, when Christians or churches allow the world to come in, they're letting worldliness come in. There's a difference between spiritual and worldly. There's a difference between flesh and spiritual. There's a difference. And when you allow things of the world to creep into a church, all you're doing is hurting the church. And if too much of it creeps in, the Lord will remove the candlestick and you will no longer be a church. You may think you are, but you are not a church anymore if he removes the candlestick. And the purpose is why? Why does the Lord remove a candlestick from a church? Tick tock, tick tock. To make them repent. It's just like discipline, church discipline, isn't it? I compared it to the two before, and I'll do it again. It's just like church discipline. Why is church discipline? Well, it's to run people off. No, it's to teach people their error so they come back and repent for their error and we forgive them and move on. The Lord says a church, he will remove the candlestick and will not return it until, and this is in Revelation 2:2, I believe it is, will not put it back in until they repent of their error. So, let me find my spot here. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, if you will. So, the spirit of the world is, according to Vincent Worth studies, means the principle of evil of the ungenerated world. And according to John Gill, the sinful cardinal disposition of men of the world. Which is to walk in sinfulness and total depravity. That's another word they hate. I love words they hate. The sovereignty of God, total depravity. I love grace. I love all the words they hate. Because you know why? They're truth. The world hates truth. And when the world hates it, see, sometimes I'll probably think, you know, Brother Randy really don't like getting 6 likes on Facebook. I really do. Either people not reading it and they just don't like it, or they really don't like it, or whatever. I'm okay with it. You know why? Not many people like the Lord Jesus Christ either, did they? Remember when he preached in John 6 and all of them walked away? Every one of them? And I'm supposed to cry over 6 people like that's 6 more people love the Lord at the time. You know what I mean? No, I'm just joking with that. Anyway, let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 12. The Lord says that they have all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's the spirit of the world. It's just like. It's what the flesh feels. And the Lord says they've all gone out of the way. They don't seek him. They don't want knowledge of him. They don't want to understand the truth. So let's go to Ecclesiastes 7, if you will. I got just a couple minutes. I'd like to finish this point. I won't because it's so long, but I'd like to finish at least this part of this point. Because I studied hard on this. So if you give me a few minutes here. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. He says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and turneth not. No one. That's what he's talking about by the spirit of the world. There's no righteous people. None. Not one. None. God said not one. Then why am I righteous? Because of grace. Because of mercy. Because of God's love. And because of Jesus Christ. That's what separates me from the lost people. Go to Job chapter 15, if you will. Satan has blinded the minds of the people by giving them a sinful symptom they want. People want sin. They drink it like water. They do. See, here's where I would go into talk about all these liberals and hate mongers, but a lot of Trump fans are the same way, right? They're hateful, they're hate mongers. The only righteous people on the earth are those that understand who Jesus Christ is and have believed in him as their Savior. Your life has nothing to do with it. Your politics has nothing to do with it. People want to think that somehow Republicans are more Christian than the liberals. And maybe, because there are a lot of Christians for the right, but both parties are still skunks, aren't they? Aren't they still skunks, every one of them? Job said in Job chapter 15, verse 16, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? You see in all this why it is that nobody understands God? The Lord said they choose not to love the Lord. They choose not to understand. They don't want to retain him. He did in John 3. They don't retain him in their knowledge. He didn't say they couldn't. He said they don't want to. They can't. But it's their choice, too. While it's not a choice not to be saved, because only God saves sinners, people are still charged of God to believe, aren't they? And you know why they don't? They don't want to. Adam chose to hide himself from God. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and we'll end with this. And we'll mark my place. If I don't, I'll re-preach the whole thing next week. Today is 9, 6, 5 or something like that. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32, I'll read this and we'll end. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they can't, but God said they don't like to. They don't want to. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So much for God begging, huh? See, that's the spirit of the world's teaching. God's begging you. He's pleading with you. Come to Jesus. Please come to Jesus. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, whispered, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Woo! Right breath, don't you? Without understanding, covet breakers, without natural affections. I don't have to go into that, do I? Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasures in them that do them. Makes them happy. They enjoy it. It's who they are. All right, next week we will pick up with the other part there of that scripture. And